We continue our learning. Le'ilu Nishmas Tavi B'Menachem Rosh HaMicham Yaakov B'Pidichos Aleo. We are in Sukkah Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches. Noshim V'Avodim U'Ktanim Ptur Min HaSukkah. Women and non-Jewish slaves and Eved Kanani and Ktanim, those who are under Bar Bat Mitzvah, boys under Bar Mitzvah, Ptur Min HaSukkah, they are exempt from Sukkah. Now the Gemara brings a brice and explains that women are Ptur Min HaSukkah, so based on the Pasuk Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael, Yeshivu Basu Kos, and literally every citizen is going to be chayav, and Ezrach is there as an extra word to exclude women. Now the question should be obvious. Women should be exempt from the pasuk based on the principle of mitzvah shezman grama. Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. Women should be exempt based on that alone. So the Gemara says that first of all, it's really, the drasha is an asmachta, which means it's a hint, it's a support, but it's really a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that women are exempt from sukkah. But why would I have thought they're chayv? So the answer is, I need this drasha, I need the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, because one would have thought that women should be chayv in sukkah based on either teishavu kein taduru, just like dira, just like living in one's house, ish v'ishto, so too living in the sukkah should be ish v'ishto, should be a husband and wife. So therefore, I would have thought that if that's the case, since a husband is obligated in the sukkah, the wife should be chayv as well. Or maybe the gzeres shava from chamishasa from chag hamatzos. Just like women are chayv in the mitzvah of matzah, they should be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, why are women chayv in the mitzvah of matzah? Because there's a link between a hekesh between the isser of chametz and the mitzvah of matzah. Whoever is chayv in the isser of chametz, based on the pasuk lo sochal olav chametz shavasrim tochal olav matzos lechemoni. Whoever is chayv in the negative commandment of chametz is chayv in the positive commandment of matzah. So women are chayv in matzah. And since Bo'erev Tochlu Matzos, the night of the 15th of Nisan, teaches us about the first night of Sukkot as well, that there's an obligation unique to from the rest of the days of Sukkot. So maybe I would have thought women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Sukkot as well. Certainly, at least the first night. Maybe the rest of Sukkot because would be included as well. So therefore, I need the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai to teach me that women indeed are exempt. What about Avadim? So Avadim Kananim have halacha like women. So if women are putter, they are putter as well. And Ktanim are obviously a putter for the obvious reason. Then the Mishnah says, katan she'eino tzarech le'imo though chayv basuka, which means a katan who doesn't need his mother anymore, so there is an obligation of chinuch to train him in the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, what's considered a katan she'eino tzarech le'imo? So the Gemara says, someone, a child, who when he wakes up in the middle of the night, doesn't call for his mother. It means that if he calls her ima ima and she doesn't come, he stops. So such a child is already old enough to be trained to come into the sukkah. Maisa, then the Mishnah tells you a story. V'yolda kalaso shel shamai hazakei. So the daughter-in-law of Shammai HaZakein had a child, right? His son is married to this woman. So now he had a grandson born. Upiches as a ma'azeva. He removed the plaster from the roof. V'sikich al gabe hamita. And now put tzchach in its place, right above the crib. B'shvil ha'katan, for this little child. Now, Beis Shammai seems to hold that every katan is chayev to place him in the sukkah. Why is that so? So some say the Shammai is machmir to be mechayev in chinuch, even a katan ha'tzorech le'imo. Of course, it's possible. Chinuch is about whether the child is capable of doing the mitzvah. So if a child is not, so let's say take lulav. We say a katan ha'yodeh le'na'aneo is chayev in lulav. If he knows how to shake the lulav properly, so he's chayv in lulav. If he knows how to guard tefillin properly, he knows how to be misatef betzitzis, he's chayv in tzitzis. That's the way you know a person is able to blow the shofar, he's chayv in shofar. So that depends on the age, 5, 6, whatever the age may be. But how difficult it is to fulfill a mitzvah sukkah? Living in the sukkah is living in the sukkah. You live in the house, you go to sleep. Children sleep very well. They also eat very well. So Shammai felt that the mitzvah of chinuch may apply as well. Obviously, the Chachamim disagree and hold that there's no obligation at all. Certainly, a child shouldn't be chayiv in sukkah besides the age, the Ran explains, since his mother is part of an asukkah. So, obviously, we would say if the child needs the mother, he's not roi lechino from the mitzvah of sukkah. Additionally, you could make the following point, is that then, and some claim the following, that the... That Shammai was really not training a newborn to perform a mitzvah at all. Obviously, he's pater. What happened was his daughter-in-law had an older son, and the older son needed the mother and wouldn't leave her. But she gave birth, and she had to be with the newborn. So he had no choice, but for that katan who had reached, perhaps, he felt, not for the newborn, but at least that child, the older one should be trained to sit in the sukkah, and therefore he covered it over. The mother had to be with the newborn, and this way, but this child wouldn't leave the mother either, and therefore he put tzchach over that area. Perek Beis Mishnah Test. Kol Shivas Hayomim Adam Oses Sukkoso Keva Ubeso Arai. All 7 days of Sukkos, he has to make his sukkah the permanent place where he's living, and his house is only Arai, is temporary. Yerdu Geshamim, says Mishnah, if it started raining, Me'emasai Mutter Lefanos, at what point is it permissible to leave? Now, Lefanos really means to clear out. And here there's some discussion about that as well. Maybe it means at what point is he supposed to clear out all of the vessels from the sukkah. As if to say, and there is some discussion about this, that the Yeridas Geshamim may not fall into the category of mitzayir, but it may be its own psul, its own disqualification, as if when it rains, as if it's not a sukkah anymore. So then if that's the case, so then you clear everything out. There's no obligation to keep anything in the sukkah, certainly no obligation to sit in the sukkah. And maybe that's part of why we say you're considered a hedyot. If you sit in the sukkah, there's absolutely no reason to do that. Maybe a little bit silly if you sit in the sukkah when it's raining, because it doesn't have a shame sukkah at all. Maybe very different than the exemption of mitzayir, where the sukkah has a shame sukkah, but you just happen to have an exemption because there are bugs, or it doesn't smell good, or you're uncomfortable. So, or it's too cold, or too hot, or whatever it is. So but here, raining, that can possibly sukkah. So at what point, mutter lefanos, can you leave, or clear things out, because it's not a kosher sukkah anyway, Mishe Tisrach Hamikpa, when the porridge spoils. So what does that mean? So there are different interpretations as to what stage that is. How much is it raining? So the Gemara assumes it's a bean porridge, and most Rishonim assume that the Mishnah is being lenient for a person. What does that mean? It means bean porridge, it's something that spoils very quickly. Other foods may not be affected so quickly. So you can leave the sukkah even when the bean porridge spoils, even though that spoils very easily, even though maybe a trickle of rain is going to ruin that. And others, however, hold, no, just the opposite. This is a chumrah. This porridge takes a long time to spoil. So you have to sit in the sukkah, even though certain foods may spoil right away. You still have to stay in the sukkah until the porridge spoils, which takes even a longer time. So you have to, obviously, polar opposite views on that issue. Then the Mishnah concludes, mashal, mashal. So they illustrated this idea of rain with the following parable. Lamad of Ardoma, what's this compared to? Le'evid sheba limzo kos l'rabo, like a servant who comes to pour, or literally dilute, a cup of wine for his master, v'shafach lo kiton al panav, and he poured the jug in his face. Now, the Vilna Gaon is famous for explanation in the Mishnah. It's, what does this mean? Kiton means a pitcher of water, but the Eved came with a cup of wine. So why isn't he spilling the cup of wine in his face? So the answer is no. We have to read the Mishnah very carefully. He comes to dilute the wine, meaning the Rav, the master, has a cup of wine, and it's very sharp. And what's he coming to do? He's coming to dilute the wine. So what does the master do? The master says, I don't want you to dilute the wine. I want the wine to stay very, very sharp. And therefore, he pours the water, the pitcher of water, in his face. So obviously, the nimshal is, as the way Vilna Gaon explains, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are the days of din, and Hashem decrees many punishments upon us. So Sukkos comes, and then many mitzvot that we have. We have the lulav, we have sukkah, lulav, and the dalin minim. And obviously, one the purpose of that is that we can draw on Hashem's rachamim. And Hashem, by not allowing us to perform this mitzvah, it sounds looks like he wants to maintain his judgment. He wants to maintain his midas hadin. So that's exactly what's happening here. This the mashal in the Mishnah is that the master has this sharp cup of wine, and we want to come as the servant, and we want to dilute it so Hashem, it's not too sharp. Hashem's not too angry. And if Hashem says, I don't want you to sit in the sukkah, I make it rain because I don't want you to fulfill the mitzvahs. I don't want to have the racham in mind. I want to remain in midas hadin, and therefore I don't want your mitzvahs. So by tossing the pitcher of water is basically saying, I want to stay with this sharp judgment. I'm not interested in diluting the wine.